This session is for Saturday, April 7th, 2018. I'm Dave Carter, your host, Mike Strickland, our studio engineer. Our very special guest today is Miss Kimmy Rhodes. Welcome to Studio One.
Hello out there in radio land.
Did you just write that?
No, that was what Cowboy Jack Clement always did.
Oh.
And then okay. When I did a radio show for a while, and I had that with all the harmonies and everything, I'd start my show like that. So.
Kimmy's a singer, songwriter, producer, goes on and on and on, author. We'll talk about this new book. And with her today is our good friend John Gardner, who is known worldwide as one of the finest percussionists and drummers. And how long have you known John? How long do you go back with him, Kimmy?
Oh, boy. I think I've known John since about
94, 95, somewhere
there. I think maybe 97 is what I was about to say. 96, yeah. 97, like that.
Yeah. They are appearing tonight, by the way, at the Down Home with a full band set up. And you tell a lot of stories, don't you?
I do. I'm a songwriter, and now I've got this book, and I'm doing what I call the Radio Dreams Tour, because that's the name of the book. It's all this whole multifaceted thing, but when you write your memoirs, you realize that it all kind of comes together. All the stories and the songs and the order everything was in, and it all kind of starts to make sense. I think everyone should really write a memoir, whether they're a writer or not, because
everybody's got a book in them.
It makes your life make sense, and your stories and the people that come and go. It gives you a lot of gratitude for the life and the people in it. And so I've always told stories, but I think my stories have gone to a new level of clarity now that I've actually written them down.
I think that there's a therapist that recommend that, when life is difficult. Well, write your life down, and then it'll start making sense.
Well, I always wrote songs that way, Dave. Mm-hmm. I always said that writing songs was like algebra. If I could sit down with a blank piece of paper and a feeling and an instrument, I could write my way to what I thought.
Right.
And I could understand the world that way. But turns out it works the same for books.
Some of her songs that she's written have been recorded by people like Willie Nelson, Winona Judd, Trisha Yearwood, Amy Grant, CeCe Winans.
That one was a wild card.
That's gospel.
Christmas song.
Oh, Joe Ely, Waylon Jennings, Peter Frampton, Mark Knopfler, Emmylou Harris, and the list of people, notables that she's worked with in the studio, in songwriting, and on stage, and projects is just the who's who of the last 35, 40 years of the music business in Texas, in Nashville, but mostly in Texas. Austin seems to be, and Lubbock. Why do so many great songwriters come from Lubbock?
You know, that question is probably one of the most asked questions in my world. And there are so many different answers for that. But, you kind of had to make your own fun there.
Okay.
It's a kind of a stark world where people there have a certain point of view, and there's a social grace. And I think that is a constant there, and people have found their way in. One of my own personal favorites is, at least for my generation, our mothers were afraid of encephalitis, and so they would have us go out and run around in the DDT when the trucks would come by. And and so that we think that may be the Flatlander version of, Jimmy Dale Gilmore and Joe Ely and all that. My mom would say, go out there and run around in that DDT. We don't want you to get the sleeping sickness. I talk about it in the book. It was like, I think the way I put it in the book was the sound of the DDT truck coming down the street was second only to the sound of the ice cream man on a Sunday.
When I was growing up in Florida, when the truck that would be pumping out this fog to kill mosquitoes, we'd get on our bikes and just ride behind it, huffing away.
You can Google it. Yeah. That's my favorite new verb, Google. And if you Google that, you will find all kinds of images of kids on their bikes in these clouds of DDT. So that's probably not why. But also, especially in my generation, you know, Buddy was before me. I was born in 54. Buddy, I think, died in 59.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just a little kid
listening
to Buddy on the radio up in North Texas, in Wichita Falls, where I was born. But there was a thing that was starting. There was a groundswell in music in America.
Now, did he start it, or was he just a part of it?
He was. He would say, I think, that he was a part of it because he was listening to, well, country music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of his early stuff was just so incredible. He's got a record out. It's called Rarities. It finally came out. I looked for it forever. Not that long ago, it came out where he's singing, "Please come back to me, my darling. You are the flower of my heart." You know, these just really old
Appalachian
ballads. And just immigrant songs in those families of songs that were brought over that we listened to when we were kids. But he's singing those. But then there was the blues. And all these different elements that came along that I think he was a very important beginning of the melange that really changed things. And I think that Buddy just had a creativity in him that's unique, like Lennon and McCartney and like, you know, truly creative people that are not just poets, but they have this melodic sense, and they go ahead and give themselves the freedom to do whatever they wanted to. They're uninhibited in their creativity. And I think Buddy kind of took all the things around him and sometimes wittingly and sometimes unwittingly just put all those things together to communicate and play the kind of music he wanted to play. And it was so unique because it was filtered through such a uniquely creative person.
Great songwriting, too.
Great songwriting, different songwriting, simple songwriting that affected the Beatles. And you can hear that in their writing. And you know, there's just always been, it all comes from somewhere. Everybody's got something in their toolbox. And I remember when I got on my, I can't remember what birthday it was, right before I was a teenager, as I was a teenager, I got My Fair Lady LP and Meet the Beatles on the same birthday. And of course, I was all interested in Meet the Beatles. But
I had that album.
Yeah. So I got and it was so telling later because my mother had always taken me to Sound of Music and played this music for me. And later on, much later on, after I'd had a publishing deal, after I'd had songs recorded by those people you just named, I heard, "A song is not a song until you sing it. A bell is not a bell until you ring it." And I thought, wow, I've been so affected by those early theater songs. And then I actually went into theater and was a playwright later. So
yeah, she's written three plays.
Whatever you hear, it becomes part of who you are, and then you just take those bits and make stuff up out of thin air. And
I want to hear about the Buddy Holly Foundation a moment, but why don't we play a song? What would you like to start off with?
Well, why don't we start? I think you were interested in one of the songs that had been one of the bigger songs for me, and this was a song that it kind of ties together in both ways that we discussed, because I started writing this song about the house I grew up in Lubbock, and things that happened when I was a child, and then I grew up a little bit, and I became this person who was using this song to exercise the possibility of maybe divorcing from an unhappy marriage, and in this song I was driving by a house and looking at what I would have changed or kept the same, and so I was able to kind of hide where I was headed with my love and my life in that. And then as time passed, I wrote this song over 7 years. It could have been a good song any day that I got it out to write it, but it finally, when I got happy in love and was happily married, I got that moment where I wrote the song for the last time And it became a bigger song because I realized as a writer, it was one of my first songs that did really well and really one of the first songs I started writing. And for over 7 years as an artist and as a poet, I wrote my way to the happiness that I found in love. And I think it gave the song broader appeal. It brought Willie. It got his attention. For me as a songwriter, I came home one day, there was a message on my answering machine because of Waylon Jennings. Wynonna Judd recorded it, which led to a publishing deal that sent my kids to college. It paid off my mortgage. But most importantly, and I am about to do the song now, but most importantly for my mother, I think it finally convinced my mother that I could make money as a songwriter, so she wouldn't worry about me, because with the Wynonna Judd cut in one day, I made what she made in 4 years of working 8 hours a day. So she went, okay, I like you being a songwriter now. So anyway, it's just a little song about some houses, and it's called I Just Drove By. Always go the other way, but my car drove me down today to a little house on the older side of town. And back when things were never hard, I used to play there. And I just drove by to see if things had changed. Well, Cokes were just a nickel then, and across the street at the 5 and 10, a lot of things were cheap and square and strange. And the life that we had might have been, but it was one we loved believing in. I just drove by to see if things had changed. I wondered now if love is still the way it was back then. I need to know that life is still a place worth living in. And there it is, just like it was, a house where there was always love. And I just drove by to see if things had changed. Better days. Oh, it's good to know some things remain the same. Well, standing still, that's not time's way. So take to heart while in its spring that love is just a fragile thing. Oh, I just drove back then, 'cause I need to know that life is still a place worth living in. And there it is, just like it was, a house where there's always love. To see if things had changed.
three chords and the truth.
Mm-hmm. Was there? There might have been four.
I think there was four, but still.
Sometimes you need four to get to the truth.
I see what you mean. But how many times have you performed that song? And I swear, you were bringing it just straight from the heart.
Well, that's a two-part question, but countless.
Yeah.
That song has been a really great song for me, and I do it every show. And, you know, one thing I learned early on, my dad, who taught me to sing when I was 6 years old, taught me to sing out.
So you would have a skill set.
He taught me to sing out, so I'd have a skill set.
And be fearless.
Yes, and I'm not afraid to play. I get excited. I start kind of bucking in the stable. My version of stage fright is excitement. But also, I think in terms of the other thing, when I really started making records, really had an opportunity to work with Joe Gracie as a record producer and Willie Nelson and other people. You know, Joe Gracie said a thing to me that I never forgot, which was our job as musicians, since the first people started banging bones together, was to bring down the magic. So if I feel it, I figure other people will feel it. So the thing is to get past the fact that you're going live on the radio or any of that. Now we're here. We know the song. Let's just bring down some magic. And so that's, if I can get past all the other stuff, get out of my way and do that, then I feel like I've really done my job as a poet.
Hey, John, who's going to be in the band tonight at the Down Home with you and Kimmy?
Ed Snodderly is going to be with us, as well as Brandon Story and Dave Yates.
Ooh.
Dave's going to play some electric guitar, and Ed's going to play a lot of dobro and acoustic guitar, I guess.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah, we got together and jammed a little bit the other day. It's going to be nice.
I was really excited after that because I realized we're going to have a wonderful, you know, for me, the excitement of being with people that I haven't played those songs with before, except for just that quick little run through that we did. And so there's that moment for new things to come in where you don't know the song all that well, and you just have to stand there and be good.
Well, you got three of the four of the finest improvising musicians in this area that I've ever known. I'm sure you were pleased with what they came up with.
I noticed.
We're going to let's play one more before we take a little break.
Okay. Well, let's see. What should we do here? Let's see. The name of the book is Radio Dreams. The name of my world right now is Radio Dreams. I'm doing so many related projects. So maybe we'll do. I realized I had a museum exhibit at the Country Music Hall of Fame. I've been working on a 12-hour, 6-part documentary. I had an audio documentary. I had a book. I had an archive placement project by that name. And I went, oh, wait a minute. I haven't written the song
called
Radio Dreams. So I got together with a friend of mine, Gary Nicholson, who's a great songwriter. He's written many, many songs. So he's my songwriting husband. And we got together and wrote the song that titles the whole project, called Radio Dreams. Goes just like this. With my little transistor hid under my pillow, I drifted away in a dream where rock and roll and Memphis soul showed a whole new world to me. I'd wake up with the song rolling round in my head, dreaming a dream I'd never forget. I felt the change coming over me, dreaming my radio dreams. Radio dreams, radio dreams. I've been tuning in all of my life to my radio dreams. Radio dreams, radio dreams. I've been tuning in all of my life to my radio dreams. I bought a guitar, played Beatles and Stones,
And soon I was making up songs of my own. I started to be who I wanted to be, dreaming my radio dreams. Radio dreams, radio dreams. I've been tuning in all of my life to my radio dreams. Radio dreams, radio dreams. I've been tuning in all of my life to my radio dreams. From the dashboard speakers in my Chevy one day, the magic came drifting in on the airwaves. I heard my own voice singing back to me, singing my radio dreams. Radio dreams, radio dreams. I've been tuning in all of my life to my radio dreams. Radio dreams, radio dreams. I've been tuning in all of my life to my radio dreams.
Well, that's a dandy song.
It is a dandy song. It tickles me.
We're going to talk about the outlaw DJ that changed her life, the subject of this book, and so many other great stories on the other side. We're going to take a little break right now and be back with our little concert schedule that we always give you about this time every Saturday. And more Kemmy Rhodes on Studio One right after this.
Hi everyone, it's Helen Forster from E-Town. Our old and dear young friend, the talented Sarah Jarosz, joins us this week, along with the dynamic alt duo Him for Her. Plus, we'll have a moving Each Human Award story this week in E-Town.
Saturday afternoons at 2, here on WETS FM and HD1.
And are you serious when it really comes?
Andrew Bird, Foy Vance, Shamika Copeland, Dawes, Margot Price, Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn, Wynonna, and many more great artists are featured in live performance on this week's special edition of Mountain Stage. I hope you can join us.
Mountain Stage comes your way 6 p.m. Saturday evenings right here on listener-supported public radio WETS-FM and HD1.
Okay, tonight at the Carter Family Fold up in Hilton's By God, Virginia, it's the Jeff Little Trio. Well, that's going to be sweet. The Gentleman and the Liars at the Wild Wing Cafe in Johnson City, Demon Waffle at the Hideaway, Super Bob with Big Mister and Set to Fire at Capone's in Johnson City, Acousta Fried at O'Manan's Pub, Allie Randolph at the Country Club Bar and Grill, Kemmy Rhodes at the Down Home, Sulphur Springs String Dippers at Damascus Brewery, Unbridled Strings at the Capitol Theater in Greenville, downtown Greenville, Tennessee, Jigsaw Jane at the Bristol VFW, The Bosses live at Gypsy Circus Cider Company, Tracy Cochran at Yeehaw Brewing, Chris Long at Our House Restaurant, E.C. Frazier at the Model City Tap House, Southern Boys at CJ Sports Bar, Soul Collusion at Holston River Brewing Company, the PF Flyers at Dave Thompson's Produce out on the 107, and Loose Leaves at Bloom Cafe and Listening Room in downtown Bristol. Tonight at the Paramount downtown Bristol, you got Phil Vassar, Marty Stewart's, and his fabulous superlatives with the Bill and the Bells, April 22nd at the Paramount. They're going to have a Grandfather Mountain Highland Games fundraiser and an awareness raiser at Jack of the Woods in Asheville, North Carolina on April 20th. Piper Jones, E.J. Jones, is going to be heading that up. There'll be a lot of other musical acts that are going to be there that will be announced later. And finally, the 48th Annual Memorial Day Weekend Bluegrass Festival, May 24th through 26th at the Hills of the Home Park, continuing the Stanley tradition, hosted by Ralph II and the Clinch Mountain Boys. Ralph will be there along with Joe Mullins and Russell Moore, Larry Sparks, Chris Jones, David Parmley, Dave Adkins, and more and more. And that's coming up Memorial Day weekend. Get out there and support live music whenever and wherever you can. It's better live.
The sun is up, the sky's blue. There's not a cloud to spoil the view, but it's raining, raining in my heart. The weatherman says clear today. He doesn't know you've gone away.
That song.
Isn't that a great song?
Who wrote that?
Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I've started doing that song again lately, because it's amazing to me how many people don't know that that's a Buddy Holly song. Even like musicians that I'm with and stuff go, really? That's a Buddy Holly song? I guess I just always love the song. I didn't know how obscure it turns out it is these days.
Give me the 90 seconds on how you met Joe Gracie and the effect that he has had on your life. And, of course, y'all were married 28 years.
Yeah.
And
we were together for more than that.
So. And a daughter who's got her own singing career. Yeah.
Well, the 90 seconds version of that, I guess, would have to be that I met Joe Gracie in 1979. Up to that point, I think my whole life I had felt a little bit like a fish out of water. When I moved to Austin, I found like-minded people. I started making music with people and found my place in life, and then found my love in life a couple of years later when we fell in love and married. I found my muse. I found the love of my life. I found everything. But and in terms of just Joe Gracie himself, you know, he had was a person who'd lost his voice when I met him.
But before that, he had been one of the major DJs in Texas radio.
He was a major force in American music in radio. He changed American radio a lot because he won the Billboard Trendsetter of the Year award the year he moved to Coke FM in Austin and started playing whatever he wanted to. And that's where the hippies and the rednecks came together. Now, we're cutting into my 90 minutes here, but I'll go back and say that...
No, I said 90 seconds.
90 seconds, not 90 minutes, yes. But I would like to say that, and it is an important part of the book and his memoirs too, when I met him in 79, he was a singer and a songwriter and an iconic DJ and a celebrity, and he had just lost his voice to cancer. So I became his voice, and I was married to a man who didn't speak for over 30 years, and he never thought of it as a handicap. He never focused on it as a handicap. He focused on his passion, which was our music. Yeah. And it was a magnificent way to get to spend 30 years of your life in the presence of someone who was the king of reinvention. And John can tell you that, too.
Now, he knew him. What a guy, man.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, is this happening at the core and the birthplace and the center of this whole outlaw country movement?
Well, it was pre-outlaw country movement. Okay. Because there was so much cool stuff going on in Austin that it was undeniable.
Now, who were some of these people you were playing with and making music with and getting to know? And
well, you know, there had been a lot of people prior to that in Austin. I mean, you know, Gracie's contemporaries were people like Doug Somm, Ray Benson.
Oh, yeah.
Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
He was the first rock DJ in Austin to play Willie Nelson to the Hippies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are a lot of different Clifton Chenier from Louisiana, Flaco Jimenez from Mexico. So it was a very cultural thing. It was a lot, you know, it cannot be overstated, the cultural significance of the music that came together there at that time from all the coasts.
That's where Tejanos was born, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, that's another long story. I'd need another 90 seconds if we're going to talk about that.
Well, play another song.
Okay.
Let's play a song and then we'll talk.
Well, let's play the song. Let's play a song I wrote with Emmylou Harris.
Yeah.
This is another one of my favorite songs, and I wrote this with her. We wrote it as a lullaby for our children. She recorded it with Mark Knopfler. I usually end my show with this song. It's a great way to go out, but I'm going to play it now. And it's a great one to play with John with his little drum he's got there. So
now, tonight at the Down Home, you'll hear the full band version.
You'll get to hear the whole thing. And I'll play more songs than I talk, I promise. A penny for then it thought it is that makes you smile every diamond dream anything that brings love and happiness.
You will always have
beat this.